Station 105.5 going to be having that that show for you at 7 o'clock tonight.
Yep.
I'm really proud of you for that, man. That's a really cool idea.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Exciting.
Seth took the ball and ran with it on that one. This should be cool. Melissa, you have a great day. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Talk soon. Seth, we'll talk to you later.
Yes, indeed.
We'll talk with you in just a bit here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Mixed results for a historic space launch from the southern tip of Texas. SpaceX giant new rocket blasted off on its first test flight about half an hour ago, but blew apart minutes later.
Starship just experienced what we call a rapid unscheduled disassembly, or a RUD, during ascent. But now this was a development test. This is the first test flight of Starship.
The biggest, most powerful rocket ever built was unmanned, and SpaceX had said it might take several tries before Starship succeeds at a test flight. The goal is to send people and cargo to the moon and eventually to Mars. Gun violence has touched the lives of a family in the South.
Police in Gaston County, North Carolina, are looking for a man who allegedly shot and wounded his neighbors, a six-year-old girl and her parents, after their basketball rolled into his yard.
I think the bullet came back and it hit me, and the bullet went in my cheek.
District Attorney Travis Page.
We'll be damn sure to be loud and clear when this case comes to court, and the people of Gaston County will see and hear our commitment to that prosecution.
Police are searching for a 24-year-old man in connection with the shooting. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Two people were killed when twin tornadoes tore through central Oklahoma. Addie is a student at Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee.
There's just like trees uprooted, glasses shattered everywhere. There's a building that has like part of it has a glass roof and that's shattered.
The National Weather Service Storm Prediction Center says another round of strong storms could tear through the region tonight. A new UNICEF report finds a lot of parents around the world stopped getting their kids vaccinated against childhood diseases like measles and polio over the past few years. The BBC's Imogene Folks.
Maybe most insidious of all, we have linked to the pandemic a whole doubt that vaccines may in some way not be safe.
This is April 20th, the day pot smokers and eaters celebrate their favorite weed. A new CBS YouGov poll finds Americans are becoming more accepting of people who use marijuana openly. 53% tell us they find it socially acceptable. 47% still do not. That is a shift from 2 years ago when it was an even split. And for Mickey D fans with a case of the munchies.
Starting a week from today, Big Mac sauce will be available in little sauce cups, just like the barbecue or honey mustard. Or sweet and sour. That means you can dip any sandwich, fries, hash browns directly into a vat of the mayonnaise-y, ketchup-y, relishy combo.
Stacy Lynn, this is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The In the Zone Performance Series from AutoZone. Former soccer pro Carly Lloyd describes her routine to get in the zone on game day.
I am all about routine. I get a good night's sleep the night before. I wake up. I get my body moving by jogging 15 minutes in the morning. I'm hydrating, visualizing, and once the whistle blows, it's showtime. This is how I get in the zone.
The In the Zone Performance Series. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Making an Impact, sponsored by Grainger. Girls wrestling is one of the fastest growing high school sports in the country. And Sally Roberts, founder of Wrestle Like a Girl, wants it to continue.
Wrestling is a powerful sport for girls because it teaches them how to own their space, their voice, and their body. Every time you get knocked down, you have to get back up.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life.
And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 56 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 35. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 50. Cloudy. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this April 20th, 2023. 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, our good friend Lori Huber going to join us, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Looking forward to talking with her, and we got a great conversation we're about to have. We have Lisa Kubas with us. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Good.
Good to see you. We have Jillian Alekana. One of these days, it'll be your last show, Jillian, and yeah. I'll get it right. I'll get it right. It'll be the last one you join us for.
Yeah. Alekna.
Alekna. Thank you, Jillian.
It's fine.
Thank
you. I get it biffed all the time.
I will tell you this. I'll never get your first name wrong. My little sister's name is Jillian. So, we'll always get that one.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we dive into the news and notes and everything, two things. Want to say a big thank you to our friends at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank sponsoring the segment. Thank you to them. And I find that I just love when things like align up and everything. The ladies came in, they joined us, we're getting ready here and settled. I get an email update. I just got your newsletter. It just popped up just like 3 minutes ago. I just got the Rome newsletter. I think that's funny. That's just cool how that happened. Do encourage people to sign up for the newsletter. It's a great resource, great way to find out all the cool things going on in the Rome area. Let's go ahead and dive right into this because we only have so much time and we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's kick things off over at Hoozle's on this Saturday, April 22nd. Got a great event coming up.
Yeah. So Hoozle's is pretty well known for their live music. This Saturday from 8 to 11 p.m., they will be having Noah Hittner. Hopefully I'm saying your last name correctly.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Yep. Should be a really great show. Like I mentioned before, Hoozle's is really kind of a hot spot for live music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've joked with the guys at Hoozle's before. If they just served water and had the live music, they'd just still be just as popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, that place is just a perfect atmosphere for live music. So much so that if I can get a shameless plug in, we have Hoozle's Rise to Music around here coming back.
Yeah.
We're very excited about that. Encourage people to spread the word about it. Any local bands out there, we want you to sign up. Sponsors, we want you to be a part of it. You can contact Steph Schmidt about that. Just give our office a call at 424-1300. Thank you for letting me get the shameless plug in.
Well, I just wanted to add too, we could do this whole show on Hoozle's and all they have to offer. Mm-hmm. If someone was interested to go out to their calendar, they have something going on every single day.
Yeah, they really do. And they're doing it such a good job of, yes, promoting Hoozle's, but also promoting others, promoting other businesses, mm-hmm. promoting other live acts and things like that. It's some really good people, really good work going on over at Hoozle's. That is happening this Saturday, live music from 8 to 11. Noah Hittner, it's going to be a good one. Got another great event coming up here Saturday and Sunday this weekend.
Yeah, the races out at Deerecuse are going on both Saturday and Sunday. If you've never been out to Deerecuse for the motorcycle or dirt bike races, it's really something to see. The off-road takes place on Saturday, and then the motocross will take place on Sunday, and that's probably more of a spectator event.
Yeah.
But super fun to watch.
It really is. I love the motocross, but I got to say that off-road stuff is wild. It is so cool to see. Mm-hmm. Let alone seeing it in person. I think a lot of us have seen that stuff, you know, on computers or on TV or whatever before. It's so cool to see it in person. And what an opportunity. It's right here next to us to be right. able to go check that out.
I get to watch it as a mother. My son races.
Nice. So. Oh, that is even cooler. Yeah, that would even bring another level to it, yeah. I would think. If people want to know more about that or find up, can they just show up? Do you have to get a ticket or anything?
Yeah, no, they can just show up the day of the event. They can go to the Rapids Angels Motorcycle Club's website if they wanted to know more. But basically the races, they go on all day, probably starting 8 a.m. through, I would say, at least 5 p.m. So.
One of the things that I enjoy that our local libraries do is hosting movies. These family night events are really fun, and the kid movies are great, and gives kids like another theater experience kind of thing. I love the idea of the same thing for adults. That's a really cool idea. That's what we're going to talk about next.
Yeah. So April 25th, that's a Tuesday, part of their Movies for Grown-Up series, the Leicester Public Library of Rome will be showing Women Talking.
Uh-huh.
And this film was actually up for multiple awards at the Oscars this year. Uh-huh. I feel like I said the same thing last time I was on here.
Yes.
So a lot of Oscar nominee films being shown in April, I guess.
Yeah.
Little bit about the film. The women of an isolated religious colony reveal a shocking secret about the colony's men that visit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually inspired by true events.
Yeah. The great Claire Foy is in this. I've seen her a lot on the Queen's Gambit, I believe, and some other things. Rooney Mara is a great young actor, but Frances McDormand. Like Frances mm-hmm. McDormand, I'll watch anything. If she's reading a phone book, I will watch it. She's one of the greatest actors I've ever seen. It's a great cast. Really, really deep film. Mm-hmm. Was hard to watch in some ways, but not in a bad way. I mean, like I'm a must-watch kind of film. Just not. I just want people to know going in. You're not going to be sitting there eating popcorn, laughing the whole time or anything like mm-hmm. that. But I definitely encourage people to see that. It's because of the true story element of it, but also it's just a good movie. It's just it's kind of and I watch a lot of the superhero movies and everything too, but it's nice to have a movie. It's just a movie, it is definitely that, and it's free.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. Then again, is happening from 2 to 4 at the Leicester Public Library next Tuesday, April 25th. We have DJ trivia to talk about now.
Yep.
Love these. This is great.
So we're going back to Hoozles.
Yeah.
Wednesday, April 26th, and every Wednesday until. There are no more Wednesdays,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, basically.
from 7 to 8:30 p.m., we will have DJ trivia. Always free, always fun. Gift cards for first through third place.
People love competing for this. They mm-hmm. they love the fun of it and everything. And all you got to do is throw like gift cards out there. That gets people's like their competitive spirits going and everything. And in a really fun way. I've been to one or two of those in the past and seen those. And it's always just really fun, kind of like a competition thing going on. It's a great thing. And DJ Trivia does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
We have a bird open house coming up over at with our friends at Sandhill Wildlife Area.
Yeah, so Saturday, April 29th from
2 to 4.
Okay, 2 to 4. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that might be incorrect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Mm. That I might have just typed that wrong.
Okay.
Oh, anyway. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
I just wanted to mention Sandhill Wildlife Area actually isn't in Rome. It's about 30 miles away, but mm-hmm. just wanted to give a shout out to that mm-hmm. organization. They're doing so many cool things. This one is real. It's an open house. It's a bird themed open house
yeah.
to display the many opportunities Sandhill has to offer. There'll be a guided tour. There's complimentary drinks and snacks, and it's free to the public. It's actually from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
We had them join us a little while ago when we were talking, and one of the things that came of it was some of our listeners telling us, I've heard about this area for years, but I've never been over there. Here is a wonderful idea of a chance to explore the property, of a chance mm-hmm. to get the area, kind of get a bit of a tour, if you will, of this great area, of all the good work, and really get a first eye look. I almost said a bird's eye view. Yeah. A first eye look of the good work, the conservation work that they're doing over there, and the vital work that they're doing over there.
For sure. Their programming, it's extremely interesting.
Yeah,
go to their website, you can check all the different programs out.
They're going to have, you can explore the property with a guided tour along the Trumpeter Trail, or join them for a raptor education group. This is all free too. There's all kinds of events going on, free event whenever it is convenient from 10 to 2. You can come to this. There will be a guided birding tour that is also starting at 8 a.m. That'll be $10 for registration. So do keep that in mind. That is one thing that would cost. But otherwise, if you want to know more about this, I would encourage you to give Vicki a call. Vicki is really good at what she does. You can get a hold of her at 715-652-3131, 652-3131. And a big good morning shout out to our friends at Sandhill Valley. Great people over there.
Yeah, for sure.
More live music at Hoozles.
Yes. So if you've gone to the bird event, you can do this later.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, 8 p.m. through 11 p.m., they will be having Jordan Bain as their live music.
Jordan just joined us a couple of weeks ago on Director's Cut, one of our favorite local musicians. Jordan's a great singer, songwriter, and really brings it with everything he does. You're going to see him in a show. I don't care if there's three people in the audience or 3,000. He's going to give you the same performance. He's going to give you everything he's got. He's a really fun performer. I think you're going to really enjoy that. Saturday, April 29th, 8 to 11 at Hoozles at the Lakes, Jordan Bain. We move on. How quickly these things happen. It's May. We're looking at May already. That's crazy, you guys. But more live music. We get to talk more live music.
So Saturday, May 6th, 8 to 11 p.m. at Hoozles, they will be having Jeffrey Clark as their live music.
Mm-hmm. Again, as I was touching on before, Hoozles does such a great job of supporting local artists and giving them an opportunity to get on that stage and really do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the fun things that we get to do about this is we get to support a local business that's so good at supporting other businesses is in Hoozles. You go to these events, you're not just taking in these events and taking in some great live music. You're supporting a local business. You're helping them keep doing these kind of things. It's going to be a fun event. Lake Arrowhead has a wine tasting coming up. I feel like we've been seeing more of these. That's a really cool idea. It's really kind of a cool concept to kind of bring back. I like that.
Yeah, so it's actually through the American Legion Auxiliary Unit, number 65. Shout out to them.
Yeah.
From 6 to 8:45 p.m., you will be sampling a hand-picked selection of 3 white and 3 red wines. Also taking home a bottle or a free bottle of your favorite wine at the end of the night.
Mm.
Brushing up on your wine knowledge, being proud that you're helping out local veterans, and being proud that you're 21 and over.
This is
obviously a 21 and over event.
Yeah.
Limited tickets will be sold for, I believe, $40. Mm. Yes, $40, and must be purchased in advance at either the Lake Arrowhead Association office, or if you go to our website, visitromewi.com, under our shop tab, there will be a little thing. I think it's a wine bottle. I mm-hmm. don't remember what I changed it to, but that's how you can also get tickets.
Yeah, I see it right here, and you just go over that shop thing, and boom, it takes you right there. Nice. Also wanted to mention Louis Hickner, the beverage director and level one sommelier, that is a wine steward, is going to be at Sand Valley. He's going to be graciously offering to host this event. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, benefiting the American Legion Auxiliary, that first and foremost is very cool. And any chance we can do anything for these kind of things. But this is, especially this time of year where we're finally able to get out a little bit, we're looking for things to do, but maybe you're looking for something new to do or something you haven't done before. How cool is it to not only offer a wine tasting, but like really fine wine, some really good stuff that they're offering. And then you got a guy who really knows what he's talking about, like Louis there and everything. You can have some fun with this, really learn up on these things. And again, the great cause that this is for is first and foremost the most cool thing about it. January 13th, I love this. The first annual anything is always cool, but this sounds so awesome. Let's tell them about this one, Jillian.
Yeah, so Saturday, May 13th from 1 to 5 p.m. will be the first annual City of Adams Wine Walk to benefit the Adams County Humane Society.
Yeah.
Tickets, just like our last event, are $40 and can be paid through Venmo, Cash App, or local check. The wines are actually pretty local, too, so they'll be offering Fawn Creek, Baraboo Bluff, Prairie Hawk, Narrows Creek, Burr Oak, etc., etc. Delicious apps, snacks, raffles, and games will be also at the event, so it's not just walking in wine. And only 200 tickets will be sold for this event, so if you are interested, feel free to contact Wendy at 608-547-0582 for payment, or if you have any questions.
I'm going to be creating a lot more wine connoisseurs around here and everything with these great events. Both of them supporting such great causes, too. The Adams County Humane Society, they do such great work over there. Big shout out to them. Thank you to them for the work that they do. That's pretty cool. But again, you're also seeing support to our local businesses here with these wine companies and them getting some support, some notoriety, some attention. It's so cool to see these events where they are now. When, you know, when I was a kid, it felt like everybody was doing their own thing. And nowadays, it feels so much more like people are working together. People are, hey, you guys, let's do this together. And we'll raise money for this fund or something like that. It's so darn cool to see. That's going to be a fun event. And it's a first annual. I love first annual anything. Those are always cool.
And it can be a whole weekend of wine. Yeah. Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. May 19th, the Rome Farmers Market is back for the start of summer.
Yes. Hey. So summer has not officially started, I guess, but summer market definitely has.
Yeah.
May 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Join us for live music, food vendors, crafts, produce, and lots of great local goodies. And actually, starting this May 19th, the market will be open every Friday in Rome Town Center through the end of September from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Before that, we had it kind of monthly. Now we're switching back to weekly.
Excellent. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Certainly good for the people of Rome. You get that great produce. You get all those things available right there in the city. But our vendors, these farmers, these ag people, that it's so vital to their economy to be able to have these things. Being able to have it weekly, that's two more days than you would have normally, or monthly or anything like that. Like, it's more opportunities for them to sell. So that part of it is so cool, too. It's not only a great sign of summer, it's just great farmers markets. Like, just hearing that, just saying that, oh, it already makes you feel a little warmer and a little better inside. Saturday, May 20th, what is this event we have coming up there?
Yeah, so Rome is having part of their spring cleanup. Mm-hmm. We had one a little earlier in April. This one's going to be Saturday, May 20th. From 9 a.m. to noon, we are going to be holding our annual highway spring cleanup. Attendees can look forward to a raffle drawing for a $100 donation to a nonprofit of their choice.
Nice.
So we'll have three winners for that. A catered lunch at the gazebo in Rome Town Center. And just enjoying the outdoors. Hopefully we're not getting any more snow this year.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody knock on wood. Everybody, yeah. Right? It doesn't count if we all don't do it.
Yeah.
No. again, a great idea that's going to lead to some great work and a great cause, while also, again, getting people outside, having some fun doing that. You're looking at $300 that's going to go to a nonprofit. Some nonprofits or there with those three winners there and $100 each. That shouldn't be taken lightly. That is a really cool thing to offer. And then the idea of helping clean up your city. like, I can't think of many more things that you can that can create more pride in the person than driving through your town or anything like that and enjoying the way it looks, wanting to look out your window, wanting to bring relatives to your town or friends or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Being a part of that brings even more to it. There's something about when you clean your house or you clean your room or something like that and you get done and you're tired, but it feels good. It feel your mind is less cluttered and everything. Your city is no different, and you're able to do that for your city, to be a part of that. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite people that I have gotten to meet in this job are the Alex C. Dove people that are a part of that foundation. I feel so fortunate to have met them and talked with them in the early days of this when they were trying to get it going. Mm-hmm. And I am so dang proud to talk about what we're about to next.
Yeah. So later that day, actually May 20th from, well, I guess it runs the whole day, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. will be the fourth annual Alex C. Dove Foundation fundraiser.
Fourth annual.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Throughout the day, enjoy live music, band, raffles, face painting, cabin tours of that property. Mm-hmm. The spot game, which I haven't played that. Apparently, it's very big.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it sounds
it's
big.
It's very fun.
Yeah, I got to try it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Good to know, Lisa. Yeah. Good to know.
Now I know what I'm doing when I go back to the office.
Yeah. You got to tell me all about it, too.
Yeah. Beanbag tournament, Bloody Mary bar, fair food, and more. And this annual fundraiser is a way for the community to come together and show their support, and they hope to see you there. I mean, we hope to see you there.
Yeah. First time I ever cried on the air was talking with them about this event and about what they were trying to do over there. And these are the early days of them wanting to get that spot out in Rome and do some of these things. And to see where it is now, like, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it again, because it's so... to me, it is the Alex C. Dove Foundation, but it could be so many other names in there. It's such a example of our communities, of the way that not just our communities, but the way our communities are connected, and the way that we, how much better we are and how much stronger we are when we work together. When people in Rome and Nacusa work with people in Rapids and Point and vice versa, like outside of like the high school rivalries we have on football and everything like that, putting those things aside. The only way we make it forward is working together. And when we work together as communities, these are the kind of things that can happen. Mm-hmm. It's such cool work that they do over there. A big good morning to them. And wish them a great event. It's going to be a fun one coming up next month.
Yeah, and if anyone is wondering, the Alex C. Dove Foundation provides a respite for anyone with a life-threatening disease. So if you or anyone you know is looking for a place, a beautiful home on a lake for a retreat, that is of no charge to the person with the illness as well as their families.
Thank you for mentioning that, Lisa. I should have added that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Lunch in the wild. That sounds really cool. You already got me. I'm already signed up. Sounds great.
Yeah, it is. May 20th, again, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. will be Lunch in the Wild at Sandhill Wildlife Area. What does a dandelion salad taste like?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
find out.
Well, yeah, we can find out. Join the group at Sandhill Wildlife Area, where expert botanist Jessica Prindeville, hopefully I'm saying your last name correctly, will lead a search for all the wild edibles Sandhill has to offer. She will lead us in a short classroom discussion to learn the basics, followed by a guided hike to look for our potential lunch. But also bring a lunch as well as water bottle and bug spray.
Mm-hmm.
Class is limited to 25 participants, and pre-registration is required before May 17th, along with a $10 registration fee per person. So you do have to pay a little bit of money, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I remember talking with, speaking of UW Extension, who's going to join us in a moment, Rachel Whitehair, a lot about the foraging and a lot of that, and how popular that has become, and how many people love doing those kind of things. But we worry sometimes about just somebody who's a novice going out there on their own and trying to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have somebody who's a pro like Jessica there to be able to guide you through a lot of these things. That is a much safer and better way to do this, especially if this is something you've been curious about and want to try.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool, going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a really fun event.
Yeah, something different.
Before we wrap up, we do want to mention a market coming, the Market Boutique that is opening.
Yeah, the Market Boutique is a new boutique in Rome that is opening April 27th. They're carrying clothing, accessories, and home decor. So come and support a new business in Rome that is in our town center.
Mm-hmm. It feels so good to talk about businesses opening up in the Rome area. Like for as a kid, you didn't see enough of that, you know? And where it is now over in that area, it's just so night and day. It's so darn cool to see.
Right. I think over the next few years, you'll see a lot of that in Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
With our microbrewery on the horizon, too. So that's exciting.
It just feels like every time we get together, you guys, there's something else like that going on over there. It's awesome to see.
Yeah.
And golf has started.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Golf is back.
The cornerstone of Rome.
Yes.
So just wanted to give a shout out to our golf courses, Lake Arrowhead. Their courses are open. Sand Valley opens Friday, April 28th. And of course, the always fun Papa Bear's Mini Golf is open for the season.
Oh, it's already open. Oh, good.
Correct.
All right. Yep. All right. All right. Okay, so I got a couple things I'm doing this weekend now.
Yeah.
All right. You guys gave me stuff to do. I love it. That's great. Yeah, we appreciate the time from you you all as much as we appreciate talking about these events and these other things going on. I always like to take a moment to thank you, too, because I know it's a small staff over there, but you guys do such big work and such great stuff. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
You can find out more by going to visitromewi.com. That's visitromewi.com. And a big thank you, of course, to our friends in Nakusa, Port Edward State Bank, sponsoring the segment. Always appreciate them. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, you James. Too.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR's Morning Magazine.
Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs, and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edward State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC Insured.
Hey, Donald Driver here. When I played football, Coach would challenge us to study the playbook and do our best on the field every Sunday. Well, now I'm challenging all of you to buckle up and put your phone down every time you drive your car. Wearing your seatbelt and not being distracted by your phone are the two most important things you can do to prevent or survive a crash. So join the movement to save lives in Wisconsin. Go to zeroinwisconsin.gov and take the pledge to buckle up, phone down, every trip, every time.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs around 56 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 35. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 50. Cloudy. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this April 20th, 2023. It is 10:33 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. We're looking forward to being joined by Laura Huber, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Laura's going to give us a call here any minute. Right now, I'd just like to take a moment to encourage you to check out the webpage for Wisconsin's 4-H. You can go to 4h.extension.wisc.edu or just type into your search bar, Wisconsin 4-H, and it'll pop up. There is a ton of things for you to check out there. The calendar section will give you a breakdown of all their events coming up as we get closer. Man, what happened to April? How is it already gone already? We've got some events coming up here in April still. Their national, let's see here, where did it go? The UW-Madison Science Expedition is going to be going on the 23rd. That'll be a fun event. They also have their Taylor County Liberty 4-H Club. That'll meet at 6:30 then. Space Camp is coming up today. Today's start Space Camp. That is going to be pretty cool. Right on for them. They're also going to be having on the 28th a supporting youth mental health and volunteer training. Adults who volunteer with young people, care about young people. One way to show we care is to give help and support when someone is feeling down. That's what the Support Youth Mental Health for Volunteers Training Supporting will be doing. You can be a part of this. It's a one-hour online training. You can find out more by going to uwmedicine.co1. That's uwmedicine.co1. Go ahead and check that out. That is coming up Friday, April 28th from 11 to 1, supporting youth mental health for volunteering training. Should be a good one. Of course, our friends at the 4-H also have clubs going on. They have a ton of fun clubs that they have, the 4-H community clubs. Those are any size, from a small group of youth to a one neighborhood to a large group. They do good work in the community, just getting kids out there, helping out with community activities and being involved in community clubs. Youth officers are elected to guide the activities of the club. So not only gives kids an opportunity to have some responsibility and learn what that's like, but also to learn some leadership qualities, to learn some leadership skills. Part of the 4-H is helping kids learn these life lessons in a safe environment. You don't really want an adult to have to learn some of these things. They should know them already. 4-H really helps kind of with those baby steps to get there, learning how to host a bunch of their peers. You know, that can be a little haywire. You get a chance to do it in a safe environment. It's not nearly as bad as trying to do it as an adult. So you learn these things from a young age, and it's pretty darn cool. 4-H classroom clubs. These offer during the school day to a specific grade in partnership with the school. 4-H classroom clubs allow students to explore an interesting area with support from an extension educator, like our good friend Laura, who's going to be joining us any moment. You get the 4-H after school clubs. These are very popular. I remember hearing about these when I was in school, too. 4-H after school programs offered to the youth following the school day. These are clubs divided by age groups and frequently meet in school buildings or partnership organizations that provide a safe and supportive environment for youth and after school. They're also work so well for parents. They are a big gift for parents out there, these after school clubs. There's the 4-H military clubs. I don't think we get to explore this one nearly enough. These have been established. They were established in nearly every Army, Navy, and Air Force installation worldwide, while 4-H clubs in communities have opened their doors to military youth living off of installation, as well as youth of National Guard and Reserve families. 4-H extension educators support military staff and adult volunteers as they provide strong educational programs so that military men and women can pursue their critical high-risk assignments, knowing that their children are in safe and nurturing environments. We don't do a good enough job for our soldiers, our active duty soldiers. If you think we do, I have to gather that you just don't know enough about the subject. Any little thing we can do to help our soldiers when they're over there doing the work that the freedom work that they are doing to help us still live our lives here and everything, we should be taking that opportunity. Anything we can do to help. And here's a great thing. Here's a great one. We don't have enough things like this. A big shout out to the 4-H and to our military groups for doing something like this. A very cool thing to be able to offer. You can find out more, and you can even find out specifically for you. We know our listenership is not just here in the Wood County area. It stretches all across the state and really around the country. So if you are looking for a 4-H educator near you, they've got you covered. Go to 4-H.extension.wisc.edu, and you will find under one of these tabs a contact your local 4-H educator, and you just click on that, and you can search by county, like whatever state you're in. For here, of course, we've got all of our states. All of our counties loaded, and I just click on Wood County, and I hit search, and boom, pops up Laura Huber. There you go, and there's Laura's contact information right in front of me there. So it's an easy way to be able to do that, especially if you have questions or you want to get your child involved in 4-H and don't know how to get that started, or maybe you yourself want to volunteer and help out at 4-H. Here's a great way to do it. You'll get Laura's contact information, and you'll be able to reach her like that. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and hopefully we'll have Laura Huber joining us here on Morning Magazine at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Last spring, you chose hardworking seed, but did it work as hard as you did? At NK Seeds, we know that all the time, all the effort, comes down to this. All that matters now is yield and how the seed performed on your acre. Because you can't fake performance, and bushels don't lie. Visit nkseeds.com/harvest.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs around 56 this afternoon under overcast skies with scattered thunderstorms likely. Winds out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 35. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High of 50. Cloudy. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to Morning Magazine for this April 20th, 2023. You have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And right now, I am being told I'm being joined by Jeremy Solon.
Correct.
Yeah. I get it right, Jeremy?
Yeah, you got it right.
All right. All right. Jeremy is the Area 7 Director for UW Extension. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet.
Jeremy, I have to say, you sound nothing like Laura. Thanks a lot for being here, Jeremy. What would you like to talk about? What would you like to discuss as far as UW Extension goes?
Yeah, I mean, we could do some general updates or
didn't. Let's just let the audience know we're pulling an audible here. Normally we'd be talking about 4-H. I didn't know if that's what you wanted to talk about, or you just want to talk about extension as in general. Because I'm fine with either conversation.
Yeah, let's do extension in general. I'm a little bit in a better position to talk about that. So,
yeah, Jeremy, when it comes to what extension offers to communities, to our state, where does that start, and how important is that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's critical. Our communities are continuously facing challenges and trying to make difficult decisions and always in the need of information to make those decisions and address challenges. And Extension is that kind of conduit and facilitator to do that work. The core of what we do is kind of bringing the knowledge and information from University of Wisconsin-Madison to our communities. So this, the Wisconsin idea that the boundaries of the university are the boundaries of the state, and that every person should have access to that information and knowledge that's held by the university. So that, of course, takes a wide array of directions, from like 4-H, as we were talking about, to natural resource issues, agriculture, community development, economic development. All of those are critical parts of what Extension does.
When it comes to one of the things that I have found that I've enjoyed over the years interviewing people from UW is the connection of this bridge between education and community, of sharing of information. One of my favorite things, stories I heard when I was a kid, my dad is a huge fan of guitar players. And guitar players for years would learn a new technique, but when they'd be performing it live in concert, they would turn their back to the audience because they didn't want people doing their techniques or learning them. Eddie Van Halen came out, and Eddie Van Halen would start doing this finger tapping thing, and he would go right up to the front of the audience and show them what he was doing. He didn't care if he got credit. He just wanted people to learn. He just wanted to share this cool new thing he learned. I feel that with Extension. I feel that need to, it's not about credit. It's not about egos. It's just getting the information out there into the community.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, a good example of that that's of particular interest to folks in Wood County, I know, is related to water quality. And so we're continuously doing research at the university and trying to figure out, in partnership with farmers, the best practices to reduce impact on water quality. And that's all out in the open and continuous, right? Part of a conversation with the community. So yeah, I think that's kind of core of who and what Extension is for it to always be public facing and to always be of public benefit.
And, you know, I've been doing this for a while now, and I've gotten to talk to so many people from Extension that I know this. I feel very comfortable saying this. They're not going to do this, so it's it's something that you and I can do, Jeremy. Let's give them credit. Like the people that join us on the air here for years now have been educated in this area, and every single one of them is stellar at what they do. Like they're not just good at this; they're born to do this. Right. They're really, really good at it.
Yeah, they're really good at it, and they're passionate about it, which is critical. I was just talking with an educator this morning, and we as state employees get vacation, and in a lot of cases, as in the case of the educator I was talking to, we find it hard to actually take enough time off to use that vacation. Because we're passionate about what we do, right? We recognize the need within the community, and we're trying to be responsive to community interests. So that means we're, working evenings and weekends and whenever people are available. We're incredibly fortunate in Wood County, and I as a whole in Area 7, which includes Clark and Portage and Marathon counties, that we have exceptional educators who really care about the communities that they work in and really are committed to educating the public in their areas. So they're not doing it for fame or fortune. They're doing it because they're passionate and educators at heart, for sure.
I've enjoyed so much the conversations. To the point, you know, somebody who doesn't work there anymore, Rachel Whitehair, I'm still friends with her. Rachel and I still talk all the time and everything. It's not just the education and what they bring to the table. And to your point, Jeremy, I'm glad you mentioned the passion that they have. They're good people. They're very good at what they do. There's a very genuineness to everyone, every person that joins us when these subjects that we're talking about, whatever it might be. And that's where I'd like to go next. We've got Jeremy Sloan, Area 7 Director for UW Extension, with us on the phone right now. And Jeremy, when it comes to how much you guys cover, because there is, it's hard for me to believe that there isn't a field that you guys don't cover. Right. I would imagine you're always looking to do more. Is that the case? Are you looking to even have more groups off of Extension?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have areas in which we focus, and but even those areas, you know, are pretty broad. You know, for example, financial education, you know, you can go in lots of different directions with that just one focused area. As an example, like community development, which we have an educator in Wood County, Kayla, who's doing that work. You know, there's so much that happens in that, and the areas that we continue to grow are, again, in response to community needs. So, you know, 15 years ago, for example, there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about either housing or even childcare to that extent, but now those are like key issues that communities are facing, and so Extension is doing work targeted on those topics, trying to help the community to address those issues. So that, you know, continues to evolve. I think the an interesting kind of analogy that was used by a colleague to explain Extension and how it's changed through time is like looking at a cross section of a tree cookie. And at the, you know, at the core is the very beginning of, in a sense, of Extension, which was really 4-H and agriculture extension, and with Extension has just continued to grow through time, right? So continue to add layers upon layers of what we do. And if we'd still be doing what we were doing 100 years ago, we'd be doing, you know, education about corn with only male students, right? So we're way beyond that and have far reach, like you said. And that's a process that continues. We can continue to kind of keep our ear to the ground to see what the communities need and try to find resources to address those needs.
Let's piggyback off of that a little bit, Jeremy. You mentioned the topics and keeping up on currently, you know, needs in the communities, in the state and everything. How do you keep up on those topics?
Yeah. I mean, it really is, to go back to the educators, it's really the educators who are working in the community who are listening. As much as they're educating and facilitating, they're also listening and, you know, adjusting their work based on those needs and what they're hearing. And then generally those things get started at the local level. And as those educators network with each other and other resources and Extension, programs get built to support those things. Like, for example, a program we have in Wood County that provides support for renters who've had, you know, past challenges of finding places to live, whether that's because they're part of the justice system or other factors in their life. The RentSmart program is available to them, and that's something that bubbled up kind of locally, and then as you know, that need was identified in multiple areas and counties, and it became a state program that supported at the state level in multiple counties. So it really is the educators who are at the core of that. And of course, sometimes that happens the opposite direction. You know, as an example, you know, climate change and the work that's going on there, some of that is like federally or state driven resources that we're, you know, trying to support. So It can definitely come from both directions, but generally it's about the community needs and the educators addressing them.
Jeremy, how long have you been doing this?
Yeah, so I've been in this role as area extension director for just 3.5 months, I think, now. Started the 1st of January, and I've been in extension about 10 years. I've done a little bit of everything in extension. Primarily, my background is in natural resources, environmental education, and community development, but I've worked in leadership development, local government education. Most recently, before this position, I was the state maple syrup program coordinator. Mm-hmm. So I've got to see a lot of extension, which is helpful in this role for sure.
See, Jeremy, this is why you're perfect for this job and I'm not. If I was in charge, if I had any, like, the half of those credentials, let alone the maple syrup credential, you remember talking to me about maple syrup. I would be walking up to strangers and telling them that. Like, I'd be bragging about that every 5 minutes. I think that's so cool. It's also really cool to see your arc here, going from that to this position. First, congratulations on the position. And how's it been going?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's going well. I mean, it'll sound a little bit like a broken record here, but the core of what I do is get to support educators, and that's, that's good work and exciting, and I get to work with good people and see them doing good work. So that part's, just really nice and invigorating, I would say, to see the good work that they're doing. And then the other parts of my role are kind of relationship with the county, because Extension is a partnership between UW-Madison Division of Extension and the counties themselves. And so kind of managing that relationship and building that relationship, and then budget management and overall kind of office management, things like that. So, mm-hmm. Those parts are sometimes less exciting, but it's all in service of really good work. So it's going well. Yeah.
Good. Very good to hear. Are you still able to teach, to still be able to do some of the, like, the maple syrup work, some of those things that you were doing before this position?
Yeah, very little.
Yeah, I imagine.
So
yeah.
The position is very administratively focused. I'm still in touch with the folks running the maple syrup program and provide some support for them. But that's pretty minimal, but I occasionally get to do community presentations or, hang out with an educator doing a program and contribute a little bit, but pretty much, out of the direct programming area right now.
Hmm. Are there things on the horizon with, extension as far as any of the, programs coming up or anything like that, that we can tease to the audience, we can tell them a little bit about?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into, you would have been talking to Laura today, mm-hmm. had her morning not gone awry, so we're getting into busy time for 4-H, so there's, a lot of 4-H related programming coming up, and obviously the fair is a big part of that, so we'll have, fairs across the state coming up. And so good opportunity to kind of see those kids in action and all the work that they've been doing. And I think related to 4-H, like, there's often this kind of perspective that it's only for, families who've been in 4-H for a long time, but there are lots of opportunities for new kids and families to get involved and to kind of check out things. One of those is the Juntos program, which is specifically designed to support Hispanic kids and families. And so that's a population that has been underrepresented in our programming as a whole. So we're doing more work in that area. So exciting to see that. So lots of family type programs there. And then this is field season for lots of ag programs, and they're working a lot with farmers and supporting work that's going on there. And in Wood County, we're fortunate to have a cranberry specialist. So she's busy working with cranberry growers and helping them to improve their production and decrease their impact on water quality and things like that. Mm-hmm. With best practices. So yeah, it gets to be a busy kind of programming season, and so the educators are kind of in full mode at this point. Yeah. One of the interesting areas, and I know you've touched on this in the past, but in Wood County, the educators do a really good job of collaborative programming. So as an example, the programming that happens at Focus, the food program there, like they combine financial education, horticulture therapy, food-based programming, nutrition, all of those kind of things to support folks there. So
yeah,
that's kind of a continuing series that's just really exciting because it's an opportunity to connect with folks who really need support, and we're able to get extension resources into their hands in a way that is, you know, directly applicable and kind of across that spectrum of interest and need, not just in one kind of program area. So lots going on there as well.
Jeremy, greatly appreciate the time. You're done. You did it. Nice work.
We made it.
Yeah, we made it, man. Nice work. I really do appreciate the time. I know this was, you know, not planned or anything, but it was a good conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Take care, Jeremy.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow, everybody. Before I touch on our guests, I did want to remind everyone that the potential of severe weather conditions in southern and central Wisconsin today, Wisconsin's 23 statewide tornado drill is being postponed till tomorrow. It will be at its scheduled times again, 1:45 and 6:45 tomorrow. If it is canceled tomorrow, it will be canceled altogether. This does not apply, though, to schools and businesses that are planning to participate in the drill. They will still probably be doing their thing today. So keep that in mind. Tomorrow, we'll wrap up the week of Morning Magazine. Senator Patrick Testin going to join us in part one. In part two, we're going to have a preview of the LHS musical. It's going to be great, and it'll all be right here